The introduction to my guest, Franz, who will be joining us in a couple of minutes, we had to hear Danny Boy one more time, and there are those who feel we shouldn't bother. But anyway, assuming that we had to hear it, you might as well hear one of the greatest versions of Danny Boy by Michael Landra.
The pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. But come you back when summer's in the moon, or when the sun is hushed and white with snow,
there has been downloaded by over 8 million people, and as of this morning, Michael Landra make that 8,000,001, and one being here on. How are you doing there, Michael?
I'm good. It's so nice to hear your voice, Adrian. Long time since I've seen you.
Yeah, it has indeed. How are things out in Minneapolis, Minnesota?
As cold as you can imagine, we had an early winter blast as well as you guys. I hear it wasn't too pleasant in New York this week either.
No, we had a freak storm on Thursday, and it has become a great talking point. You know, there are a lot of people. A lot of times, as you know yourself.
It's just another day in New York.
Yeah, we get stuck to things. You know about things to talk about here, so we drag that out as much as we can. Would you ever, Michael, of course, you would be known worldwide for not only for your own talent as a singer and a songwriter and a producer, but you know, as somebody who took the bull by the horns and actually took the Irish Third World Aid Agency concern worldwide and went around the world to raise money to actually bring awareness to places we can't even find on the map about concern worldwide. What kind of experience was that for you as an established artist now heading out, you know, on your own to far-flung places around the world?
Well, you know, we, like yourself, I grew up with concern. You know, it was always there. You know, when I was growing up in the 70s, you know, you'd have those collections in school for concern. And as I grew up and kind of moved to the U.S. And recognized that, you know, I had a bit of an audience out there. And, you know, the one thing about being a singer is when you walk into a hall of 2,000 people, they're trapped, and you get to talk to them for a couple of hours. And I, you know, became familiar with concerns work through the New York office. And luckily for me, I was able to see the work firsthand in Haiti on numerous occasions. I actually went over there about 7 times, and I saw a lot of other programs in Africa and India. And because I get to go to far-flung places in the world, I see where poverty exists, and the fact of the matter is that it's so pervasive. It's everywhere in life. The show that I'm working on now is actually about poverty here in right on our doorstep, but it's easy to kind of ignore it and just get on with your life, and life takes over. And as an artist, I think we have a responsibility to just harness the bit of an audience that we have and give them a gentle reminder of what's going on in the world. And, you know, a little gentle push towards having a look at an organization that does brilliant work, you know, concern work in 40 countries around the world, the poorest of the poor. And I know that organization are there when a lot of other kinds of short-term emergency organizations leave because of hurricanes or particular illnesses. Concern are in it for the long haul, and that's why I believe in
them. Yeah, and if we go back to, you know, to the 60s, late 60s, when Angus Finucane, a Jesuit, and his brother Jack, decided to, you know, to, they were missionaries, and they decided, you know, to bring, Anya's telling me here that, not Jesuits, the Holy Ghost Fathers. Okay, yeah, well,
it's, they were,
Yeah, your one has an attitude here now, because she comes from a family that had 3 or 4 or 5 Holy Ghost Fathers, so be jiffers, you can get wallet.
He's going to be giving you that. You better not get that wrong again.
Yeah, and you better watch yourself too, because you could be. You know, I could drag you down with me in no time flat. Tell us about again. I was saying that, you know, the Finucane brothers. You know, I don't know about your time, but in my time. The missionaries from Ireland, both priests and nuns, though the nuns got very little recognition, but missionaries would come back, and they would talk, you know, about the poverty. They would talk about, you know, these places, and everybody would anticipate that that's what they'd be talking about. And then they'd leave. The Finucane brothers decided that these isolated stories, you know, by themselves did not tell the picture. So, or did not paint the picture. And they went around, you know, many would say in a Cromwellian fashion, because they had to beat their way past all, you know, the violence and the corruption of governments, and they establish themselves there. For you to take an illustrious, exciting career, and you know, we're not name dropping here because we don't name drop in this program, except that I can't let her go without saying, you know, you're up there with your appearing with Pavarotti and Bocelli and a few, you know, a few of the biggies along the way, Judy Collins. Now, to decide that, okay, I'm going to stop this for now, takes an element of risk as well, because for a lot of, in many cases, as, you know, as an entertainer and as a musician, which I've been accused of being myself, you're not sure if, you know, if you get out of sight, are you out of mind? And then how do you hop back on again?
Yeah, I mean, you have to balance it. You know, I'm probably, against a lot of other people's advice, always put singing second. I always follow my heart. And while singing has been very good to me and given me loads of opportunities, you know, I've been to like 65 countries around the world. You know, at a certain point, you have to look at what satisfies you. And I love getting a lot of people, creative people in a room and creating a project. And I don't necessarily have to be on stage. I enjoy being on stage, and that's great. But I much prefer being behind the scenes and building something. And that's what I've been doing with this new musical. I essentially gave up singing about 2 years ago. Not for good. I'm back in the game next year, and I'm doing another PBS special next year. But for the past 2 years, really, I've just focused on creating this new musical that has great connections to where I'm from. It's the writer and composer are from Wexford. We workshopped it at the National Opera House in Wexford, and slowly but surely, over 2 years, we have created something that's very beautiful. And we now think we'll tour as part of the Christmas season for a long, for many years, long after I'm gone, I'm hoping. It's a very, very beautiful Christmas classic musical.
It's new. It has, you know, critically acclaimed. And it is apparently, and we haven't got to see it yet, because as a matter of fact, you're opening tonight in your own neck of the woods out there.
We actually rehearsed it. We rehearsed in New York because all of the cast are, you know, Broadway performers.
Oh, sure.
And we left New York about a week ago and headed to Minneapolis because we had to tech the show, which is essentially, you know, every light that comes on, every set piece that has to be built and painted and moved, and the actors have to get used to it. So we've teched that show for all of this week, and we open tonight at the AIM Center here in Minneapolis.
You go on then, indeed, throughout the Christmas, the holiday season, with more than 30 venues, concerts in places that you may have touched on before. But you're bringing this. I'm sure that by now some people will wonder if, in fact, does this have an Irish theme? Does it have a European theme? And I know you have it's entitled or titled Noel, and I know that your CDs and everything are flying off wherever they are, and you were recorded in Windmill Lane Studios in Dublin. Tell us about how this, it's a Christmas, though I noticed in all of the advertising and promotion that it's a holiday production. Can we assume from that it is it falls outside the norm of, say, an Irish Catholic type production.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the writer is Owen Coffer, who is a childhood friend. We've known each other since we were five. And the composer is also from Wexford, Liam Bates. And when we sat down, I guess we sat down about 4 years ago over a pint in Simon Lampert's pub in Wexford, and we talked about what we wanted to do together. I knew that I could help craft something that I thought would do very well in America. And we wanted to create a story that would play all around the world. So the show is actually set in London. It's set in modern times. It's about a little girl whose mother disappears, and she enlists the help of a group of homeless people. And that's the core of the show. It's about people in need. Homelessness is a central theme in this show. There's a character who's a vet who's was a Marine for a long time, and he lost his home. There's a woman with a mysterious past. There's this curmudgeon of a man called Nick who has more of a past than anybody, because we discovered that Nick is actually Santa Claus. But they're all homeless, and they decide to band together to help this little girl find her mother. And in helping her, they save their own souls. They help themselves. And that's the central theme of the show. We wanted it to be universal. Yeah. We wanted people in Australia and Japan and Germany and London and America to appreciate this story. So that's why we made it so universal. We recorded the video yesterday. That video will go, I'll edit it next week, and it will go around the world to promoters everywhere. And I'm hoping over the next few years, the show will be seen all over the world.
That's you're off to a great start there. And, of course, you have more. It's not a just coincidence that you came up with that theme, because you've come across that, again, not only through Concern, but through your own performances around the world. Some of it obviously stuck with you, or some might say stuck to you, in terms of you know, of the world poverty, and yet your show is not a downer. It's not, as a matter of fact, it's probably the opposite, in the sense that you are, you know, laying the groundwork there for solutions rather than the woe me attitude.
Yeah. I mean, what I want people to do is come and, you know, receive the joy and the warmth from the show and go out into the world and hopefully share it. We're actually partnered in this, for this show, we've partnered with an organization who deal with homeless vets because of our central character. And it's a new organization called Backpacks for Life. And they essentially build backpacks for homeless people to help them on their way. There are a lot of homeless vets who have huge health problems, and this organization's helped them. And that's what I want people to do. I want to give people a gentle reminder that Christmas is about caring for others.
Okay, well, you're obviously you're off to a good start tonight. You know, you're having received two Emmy nominations. Again, the PBS public broadcast system is actually, it's called Beyond Celtic. And it is obviously, as an Emmy Award nominated a production. It goes way beyond the United States. You understand that right across Europe in particular, and some other areas, and we know about Canada, that it is shown and it is produced, you know, to a great number of people in arts and culture and something. So you already have, you know, a very significant success under your belt. Is there any part of this new production, Noel, that would tie into your, you know, into your previous PBS repertoire?
I mean, not really. The thing is, it's very different. Producing a musical is very different than producing a concert or being in a concert.
Yeah.
You know, I walk on stage and I don't have a clue what I'm going to talk about most of the time. We just have a fair idea of the songs, and even that takes a tangent. I'll change my mind mid-show, and I'll turn to the band, and I'll say, we're going to do this, lads. And I love that part. But, you know, with a musical, there can't be one word out of place. Like, every single word matches a light change or a set change, and it really flows. It's like a jigsaw, and if anything goes wrong, it falls apart. And so you have to rehearse it to within an inch of its life, and that's what we've been doing for the past month.
Well, as you say, that it calls for that degree of, you know, perfection you can't afford, you know, to make, you know, the slightest misstep. If you want,
the actors know what they're doing. They're all experienced Broadway people. And our director is Sam Scalamoni, who's the director of Beauty and the Beast and Elf. And, then you have to trust the people who know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah. If in fact, you know, you find that becomes a strain, that degree, you know, of perfection, if that's weighing you down, you can always come over to us here, because we'll show you that missteps become part of, you know.
I tell you, we had a few missteps during the rehearsal yesterday. There was a few tears shed yesterday. People made a few mistakes, but we sorted them out.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us that you had some dropped F-bombs or something. So that's all right.
No, it's a family show, Adrian. It's a family show.
All right. Let's listen to a track from Noel.
Let me tell a fairy tale for thee. A queen in her castle, perched high in the city, with her body so smart, they were stayed on the art, till their world fell apart. Now, that's a pity. So, what's a girl to do when she hasn't got a servant or a butler or a house to put them into? Kicked out on the street in winter, whatever is a girl to do?
What's a boy to do when he can't afford the starch for his collar and his tux is very sweaty?
Accessorize with your second-hand hanky,
together we can make it through. What a tragic affair this is, but we must resist the mad fight and squabble.
That's right, we surely had enough trouble. Oh, gee whiz, we really must remember who the bad guy is. But what the girl to do when she finds herself a sneezing, cause she's freezing with no luxury attire?
Put on your head, come sit by the fire. I think we're gonna make it through. Wintertime I sit and watch the heavens glowing with incandescent light. And I miss the sound of our trees in summer.
Oh yeah, we could really use a plumber. We'll build a cardboard mansion and then paper every wall with leaves.
Hey, Miss Gilman, won't you illuminate please?
We could continue to listen to it. It's a great musical production, and it is a cast that has to go from post to pillar. Michael, that must be a bit of a new experience too for, you know.
Wrangling actors and moving them around the country. You know, actors are amazing people, but notoriously disorganized. So you have to, everything has to be kind of organized within an inch of its life to make sure, you know, this is the time the bus arrives, this is the time the flight leaves.
I know.
And luckily there's a group of people, this company managers and the stage managers who just know exactly what to do, and they do this all the time. I'm going to kind of drop in and out occasionally to make sure the singing is up to scratch, because, you know, when you're on the road and the winter, you just want to make sure people are singing in tune, and nobody's sick, and so I'm not going to do all of the dates, but I'll do some of them.
Yeah, I have, you know, limited, obviously, experience in that area, but I do know that if we go back, it's now well over 30 years ago, and somebody told me it'd be a great idea to have an Irish weekend in the Jewish Catskills. Any time there was a Jewish holiday, Passover, whatever, and I know what an uplifting experience that is. You know, especially you're coming up, you're bringing in, you know, top level artists, and everything is pouring along. And I distinctly remember being in the lobby and everybody giving the thumbs up and the back slapping and the lot. And this lady came along and said, "Sonny, there's no toilet paper in my room." Okay, so that's kind of a leveler, you know.
That'll knock you down.
That takes you down a peg.
You
know,
wouldn't want to have notions about yourself.
Oh, God almighty, no. And you know, and you want to go get the friggin' toilet paper because you don't want her going around the place telling everybody else. But there are kinks. And just like, you know, you've been in production now for most of your life, one thing or another.
Yeah.
But is there a, when you're rolling out something for the first time, in case you weren't feeling any tinge of nervousness, let me ask you, on this very day that you're about to start on the road, does that put extra pressure on?
I don't. I'm blessed with some sort of decent mental health. I don't get nervous. I kind of get quiet and focused, but I'm not the sort to be pacing the hallway. I just trust that people very much. I know if there's a problem, and I'm very practical, so I'll sort it out. And that's my general approach to life. If there's something in the way, I'll sort it out.
Yeah.
And
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for
and
you.
I also secretly look forward to that pint after the show. You know, that's just a bit of a reward.
Yeah. Well, it's a big undertaking. And if it was the first big undertaking for you, you'd probably buckle, but this is one more.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Noel. It's pronounced Noel, right?
Noel, absolutely.
It's Noel, the musical. And actually, if you'd like to, friends, because it's going to be all over the United States, you could trip on top of, maybe, or trip over our guest, Michael Londra. Why don't you log on to Noel, N-O-E-L, the musical.com tour. And, of course, no better person as a marketeer and as a somebody who is amazingly talented, you know, as a promoter than Jean Clancy and her.
Yeah. Jean is a close friend. We worked together. We were the team who put Celtic Woman out there in the first 6 months of it when it came across over. And
right.
She's a formidable woman.
I can say that. Yeah. And her website is, or if you want to get in touch with her, email is Jean, J-E-A-N, Clancy at mac.com, or telephone number 917-402-3616. Delighted to catch up with, you know, a long-time friend, somebody, of course, we know, you know, for such a long time, particularly, you know, during those years with the Finucane Priest brothers and the Maeve O'Malleys and all of those people who got together. And, you know, not that I don't want to end on a grievance, but, you know, you took off around the world and never even said so long or I'll be back or anything. So
that's the life of a singer.
Yeah.
We, I live out of a suitcase.
Yeah, well, good.
I'm there one day and I'm gone the next.
All right, I'm looking at your CD here. As we say, so long to you. Pick a track. Christmas is for everyone. Hope it's in the heaven. Okay.
I would say hope is in the heavens.
Hope is in the heavens. You got it. Michael Landra.
It's beautiful.
Okay, again. Thanks, and good luck to you on your...
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Okay.
And can I just say, you've got to brighten up my day. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you, and likewise. Let's do a bit of backslapping here now, or we could listen to... Okay. Hope is in the heavens. Okay, good luck. Londra.